Heavenly Father, may my words speak of your living word, our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ, and may all our hearts and minds be turned to you and drawn closer to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. When was the last time you had one of those moments? One of those just wow moments when everything fits into the right place at the right time, when everything just seems as if it was meant to be. A transcendent moment of joy. Perhaps you had conquered some great physical task. Perhaps you've completed an assignment of Herculean levels of fortitude. Perhaps you've solved a puzzle of baffling ingenuity. Perhaps you have even put together an IKEA flat pack without once having to stop and restart. I want you to hold that question in your mind, that last time you had one of those moments. Because I want to think about that this morning as we look at our readings today. As we look particularly, I want to start with Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet at the time, at the end of the nation of Judah. Jerusalem had been conquered. People were being taken off to Babylon by the conquerors. You might be familiar with the account of Daniel in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, he was taken into exile by the conquerors. And similarly, so was Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, we hear of a number of visions and of prophetic acts that Ezekiel does and shares with the people of God in exile in Babylon. And this is at the very time that while they are in Babylon, the rest of their nation, Jerusalem, Judah, is being taken apart. The city of Jerusalem is under siege, and in 586 BC, the temple, God's house, the very center of the Jewish worship, the temple was destroyed. And the visions of Ezekiel speak into that. And the final of Ezekiel's vision, which was recorded in the book of Ezekiel, is about 14 years after the destruction of the temple. And it deals with a vision that God gives him of a new temple. And the section that we have heard read this morning from Ezekiel is in the midst of that final vision. It's quite a wearisome vision in some ways, because there's a lot of detail in it. It goes through all the sizes and all of the details lovingly spelt out of the new temple. I imagine if you're an architect or into building particularly, that particular section is a real joy to you. But in this section that we hear, Ezekiel is being taken through the temple. And he's shown into the holy. He's shown all of the center of the temple. He's shown around the temple. He's shown the gates of the temple. And then finally, this section that we hear here this morning finishes that he comes into the temple through the north door and looks and sees the glory of the Lord filling the temple. And Ezekiel falls face down. Ezekiel falls face down in worship. Ezekiel falls face down in praise and wonder. There's a strong tradition in the Old Testament of when the glory of God fills the temple, it becomes such that no one can stand. There's a great bit in Kings of how the temple is consecrated and the priests can't even do their job because the glory of the Lord fills the temple. Ezekiel says, this new temple, this promised temple, he sees the glory of the Lord right there in the middle of it, and he falls to his face in worship. Now that is a moment where things come together. When was the last time you encountered or experienced God in such a way that you had no response except to fall into worship? See, worship is a natural response to something. To something that's amazing, something that's wonderful. You only have to watch a crowd at a sporting occasion or anything, great art or something that can be done well. People respond. People reach out. People give attention and honor and respect. The key question is where we direct our worship, though. And one of the key things that we do when we gather together is to worship, to together as a community to say that we want to focus our worship on God, our heart on God, our attention on God. That's at the center of what we do when we gather together, is bringing our worship. Before I trained for ordination, I spent 10 years working as a youth worker, and it was a great job. It is the best job in the world. Matt is sitting at the back nodding, our youth worker. It is simply a great job. You get to play pool, table football, you get to drink coffee. Oh, it's wonderful. There are downsides in youth work, though, I hasten to add. The hours, the demands on your time can be really, really wearisome. It used to be really galling on a Friday night, just as people were coming home from work on a dark and cold winter's night. You'd see all these houses brightly lit up, people setting down for dinner with their loving families, and I would be walking in the rain, it felt, every Friday night off to youth group. And it was tiring, and it did at times become difficult and hurt. But the reason I kept doing youth work for so long was because of those moments. Those moments when young people that you're working with, young people that perhaps have got struggles in their life, who perhaps don't know about Jesus, start to discover what he's like, what God's like, what potential they've got in their lives. That moment when they abandon themselves in worship, those moments are the things that kept me going. Those moments were the powerhouse to my journey. Those moments when I saw God at work, those were the moments when I fell on my face in worship. But I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark that that's not each one of our everyday realities. I'm just gonna put it out there. Sometimes, if I'm honest, and I'm saying this as an employee of the church, sometimes it doesn't feel like that, does it? It's not always a fall face down experience. And look at our gospel reading this morning. Look at Simeon and Anna. Now, if you want to find some stories in the Bible of people for whom life wasn't always a fall face down experience, you probably couldn't do much better than these two. Simeon, an old man who's been promised by God that before he dies, he will see the Messiah. Simeon, who patiently endures and waits. Simeon, who Eastern Orthodox, have a tradition that he was over 200 years old when he saw Jesus. I'm not sure about the factual nature of that, but he was old. He'd been waiting a long time. Anna had been waiting a long time. And during the wait, I'm guessing most of those times weren't fall face down in worship moments. But one day, into the temple comes this young couple, this young poor couple, this young couple with questions written all over their faces, with questions about this new life which they're holding, questions about who they are and what is going on. And God prompts them. This is the one. Can you imagine what joy, what excitement filled their hearts at that moment? Because the life of a follower of God is not easy. It's got ups and downs, it's got suffering, it's got rejoicing. There's no escaping this. If we're doing it properly, it will be tough. It entails hardship, sacrifice, putting others before ourselves, valuing God's opinions of other people over our own thoughts on them, giving preference to other people's claims on our time, on our attention, on our life. But all that, so through our lives in some way, the Messiah, this baby Jesus, who Simeon holds in his arms, so that that baby might be revealed as the salvation for the world. Because above all else, the Christian life is, it's meant to be exciting, it's meant to be an adventure, because it is a process by which God is bringing the world back into line with what he called it into being. And we, by the grace of God, by the sacrifice of Jesus, are invited to be a part of that. Simeon and Anna got that. They knew that despite the long wait, that they were part of something bigger than them. They knew that despite that endurance, those lack of fall down on your face moments, they still knew that God was faithful to what he says. So like I say, I don't know when the last time was that you had one of those moments that transcend, one of those moments when everything feels right, one of those moments when you see that God is at work in the here and the now. I don't know when your spirit was last moved to abandoned worship, giving everything to the God who is present. I don't even know why you came to church today. We don't come to church because we're made to. Well, hopefully not. We hopefully don't come out of a sense of guilt. Hopefully we don't come out of a sense simply of obligation. We should come because we recognize that we want to gather with other people who want to meet with God. And that sometimes we have those moments when we see, when we recognize God at work in our here and now. When our eyes are opened for a second, perhaps, but we see that something significant is happening. Because we see that by coming together, by meeting with God, opening ourselves up, that we are changed. And as we change, we begin to change the world around us. And eventually, ultimately, God is going to change our whole world to make it as he calls it to be. That's what the Bible talks about with the new heavens and the new earth. That's what Ezekiel talks about in his vision, this new temple. God, in the midst of his people, living with them, in the middle of them. And it begins with these moments where we catch a glimpse of what God is doing in our here and now. So my prayer, my challenge for all of us this week is that we would be ready, tuned in, awaiting eagerly those moments when we see God at work, when we recognize his hand at work in the world around us, and when our spirits might be moved to worship the Savior of the world. Amen.